Now, if you don't have credit, open a credit card. And I say that as kind as possible, open a credit card. And here's what I tell people, find a rewards card, something that you enjoy. So maybe it's a card that offers points and miles for travel, if you enjoy traveling, a card that offers points and miles for purchasing at restaurants. And I tell people, use a card for the same thing every single week, the same reason, and pay it off at the end of the week. So if your card gives you points and miles when you shop at a grocery store, use that card when you buy your groceries. I think a really simple game trick you can play with your kids to teach them credit too is the power of mommy or daddy bank. So let's say you're at Target and they're like, hey, I want this toy. It's $20. I have $20 in my piggy bank at home. Will you buy this and then I'll pay you when I get home? I've learned to say, sure, I will buy that for you, but you're going to pay me.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline or Jax Kreider. And today we have my dear friend Lindsay on, and she and I both are in the mortgage space. We're both super, you know, passionate about empowering people to own a home and being able to go through that process. Obviously, we're just passionate about helping people in general, and that's why we're so aligned. So welcome, Lindsay. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and why you're excited to be on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
I'm a single mama to three girls, and I live here in the North Texas area, DFW area. I've been a Texan for 16 years, but before that, I kind of lived all over the world. So Texas is definitely home. Love it
nice.
Here. I've been in real estate realm for many, many years. I came from real estate investing before I jumped into lending. So flipping houses, rentals, short-term rentals, long-term rentals. So I've kind of run the gamut in the real estate world, and that's why I'm so passionate about it. But I love lending. I love helping people. And that's how you and I align. We talk a lot about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, I think so many times people don't realize that not everybody in mortgage is just all about the money, right? Like, I know that is pretty quintessential for our space, that a lot of people are about the money. But I know you and I are very aligned that we feel like it's really about the person's journey, right? And them getting to where they want to be. And we both feel like homeownership is just one of those big rocks, right? That most people kind of want to accomplish, one of those big goals. And so, yeah, I love that. And today, you know, you and I are both very passionate about helping set our kids up for success, right? And making sure. I also am a girl mom. I have four daughters. And so, you know, making sure that they step foot in the right direction, especially when it comes to like credit and stuff like that. And so let's get into it. Talk a little bit about how we go through this process, right? How do we make sure that we are setting up our children, or maybe making sure that we're set up for success, right? If we're on the younger end of that and are not quite there yet.
Yeah. So I think a big thing, you and I kind of chat about this, we were kind of tossed to the wolves. As much as my parents talked to me about money and responsibility, I had to establish my own credit. I had to learn how to handle my banking my own. Granted, that's come a long way. We're not balancing a checkbook these days. Thankfully, there's a lot of that handled for us. But I think looking at my own kids, I want to make sure they're set up for success. But I also think, like you said, if you're a younger person or somebody who's never managed credit, how do you jump into the credit world in a safe way, be responsible with it? And then how do you establish good credit? Because we talk about credit more often than not on the negative side. So how do we help you get positive credit, and how can you help grow that long-term to look at buying a house someday, or even renting an apartment? You have to have credit these days, unless you're going to pay a year up front, or buying a car. You know, there's those big things in life that require credit, but you also want to handle it and manage it well.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I think a lot of people, they don't really think, and you're right, they do think about credit negatively, because typically what ends up happening is one of a few things goes down, right? Number one, unfortunately, for a lot of cultures and places, adults actually use the children's credit and it goes negative, right, early on. And so they're actually like kind of starting out on the negative foot, or they don't have any credit. But then something like they're over the age of 18, they now have to go to like the hospital or the doctor or something. Something gets missed on the medical side. And so now they've got some like negative credit from the medical bill perspective and things like that. But you're right. We do need to be proactively not only helping our children set up credit, but even understanding as like young adults or even older adults, like how does that even look, right? Like, how do we build positive credit? Because I would say that a lot of people just fly by the seat of their pants, and like they sort of do it as they need it, and they don't really think about the plan of like, how do we think in advance? How do we, you know, proactively handle some of those things? So I definitely agree with you. It's things that when I was in college, and I'll just tell the story, I realized as I got out and I was in mortgage that I didn't really have much of a credit score, right? So I luckily got my first credit card and things like that. And I actually reached out to my parents and I told them, you need to get Richard, who's my younger brother, a credit card. And my mom was like, what? And I was like, yeah, he needs to, I know you're going to be paying the bill, you know, like for certain things for him right now, but it's going to help him, right? Like now he's going to have 4 years of like positive history when he gets out and on his own. And that was not even a thing that they really thought about. And I, like you, was actually blessed with a family who taught me about money and investing and how those things work. But we definitely did not necessarily talk about the credit piece, except for pay your bills on time, which is not exactly the only factor, right?
Correct. Yeah. So I think if you want to start young and looking at your kids as they're advancing to high school and to college, a couple things you can do, exactly what you said. You can get them their own credit card and you can be a co-signer on it. So you have full access to see what's happening, making sure those bills are paid on time, because on-time payments has a huge effect on your credit score. So absolutely. I think your kids having a co-signed credit card with you. Alternatively, you can add them as an authorized user on a credit card. Now, the beauty of this is it gives them full tenure to when you started that credit card, gives them all of that history. So even if they're 18 years old and that credit card's 18 years old, technically they now have that full history, which will instantly give them a credit boost. They don't have to have a credit card. They don't have to go use your credit balance, but they just need to be added as an authorized user. Let's talk about student loans. So I know a lot of parents, and I see this regularly when we pull credit. I'm sure you see this too. You see somebody has student loans that are actually for their child. Now, I think that's great. And I love when parents help their kids with student loans or help paying for college. But I would say ensure that your child is a co-signer on that. Don't just cover the loans yourself. Have the child not only be a co-signer on that, but also it makes them responsible long-term. So they're not getting just free money. If those loans aren't paid, they're getting dinged as well. So making sure that if you are getting a loan for your child and you're paying for that, that you are adding them as a co-signer. If they rent an apartment in college, they're going to have to show credit and they are going to need a co-signer to get into that apartment. So that's a really big deal for them long-term. The other thing is, if they decide to get a car, make sure that they do take out a loan. And this sounds funny, but you can take out a short-term low-interest loan, putting down most of the money in the vehicle, but also adding them as that co-signer. So I think whatever you can do as a parent to kind of back up their credit, they can make payments quickly and pay off that loan quickly to not incur huge interest payments, but it does give them diversified credit history. The beauty of that is you have installment payment on a student loan, which is handled a little bit differently. Then you have revolving credit, which is a credit card. But then you have that loan for your vehicle and you're diversifying their credit, which adds to their credit score as well.
Yeah, well, and let's talk for a second, because maybe some people don't know kind of how this operates. So just kind of for those of you who are listening who don't really understand, so credit is looked at from a few different factors, right? As Lindsay said, on-time payments, that's a huge factor in it, right? Like she said as well, diversification. So the amount of it, like the different variety of accounts, okay? So what do we mean by variety of accounts? We mean things like revolving debt. That's credit card, right? This is something that has a limit and it can, you know, you can, your balance can go up and down very regularly. Yeah. Installment debt. These are any kind of fixed period loans. Okay. So this could be mortgage. This could be car. This could be student loan debt, like you mentioned, right? Like there's lots of different kinds. And yes, installment loans do fall into different categories. Like if you have a mortgage loan and you have a like a car loan, right, or a student loan, these are actually two different kinds of installment loans that can even help the variety, right, of your credit. But there's all different kinds, and it usually helps your credit profile if you have different variations of this, right? Like 15 credit cards is not necessarily going to be necessarily the best look overall for your credit profile. I'm not saying it's the worst either. It's just not necessarily, you know, the best.
Yeah. So you want to diversify what your credit portfolio looks like. That means adding in different types of credit and then also making sure you're making those payments on time. Credit history has a 35% effect on your credit history, your credit score. Yep. So if you have one single late payment, it is going to affect your credit for the next 7 years. As time goes on, the effect is lesser and lesser, but that late payment has a really big effect with that 35% effect on your credit score.
Right.
Again, like you said, making sure you diversify because you're telling the creditors that you are credit worthy when you diversify what type of credit you have.
That's correct. Yeah. The other thing that I want to point out about the authorized user thing, because I agree with you, it is an excellent way to build credit for either.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Imagine having the power to control your financial destiny, no matter where you start. Welcome to the Financial Mastery Simplified course and resource platform, where financial education is tailored to your unique journey. We cover everything you need, from basic budgeting and saving strategies to advanced investing and retirement planning. Learn at your own pace with lessons that match your level of experience. Whether you're a beginner or looking to enhance your financial knowledge, join our community of learners and benefit from shared insights and expert guidance. The Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform equips you with the skills and confidence to take charge of your financial future. Ready to master your finances? Enroll in our courses today at the Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform. Start your path to financial independence now.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Hello, and welcome to PBJ Mortgage, where your homeownership dreams become reality. Today, we want to share why choosing PBJ Mortgage is the right choice for your home financing needs. At PBJ Mortgage, we're built on a foundation of values that drive us every day. Our commitment to educate, empathize, and empower our clients sets us apart in the mortgage industry. Our clients are at the heart of everything we do, and their success stories speak volumes. With years of experience, our team possesses in-depth knowledge of the mortgage programs, ensuring you receive expert guidance and the best possible rates. We offer a diverse range of loan options to suit your unique needs, including conventional, FHA, VA, and more. No matter your situation, we've got a solution. At PBJ Mortgage, we pride ourselves on providing personalized service. Our dedicated loan officers are here to guide you every step of the way, making the process as smooth as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We understand that time is of the essence, which is why we've streamlined our processes for efficiency and convenience. Transparency and clear communication are paramount. You'll always know where you stand throughout your mortgage journey. Reach out to us today to set up a call to discover your options. If you're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality, contact PBJ Mortgage today. Let us empower you during this exciting journey. Phone number 4-693-733-107, www.pbjteam.com. Visit our website or give us a call to get started. We look forward to helping you secure your future home. PBJ Mortgage, where home begins.
Thanks for your patience.
You know, like your children, but it's also a good way if for some reason, like let's say somebody in your family or a friend, really good friend, has gone through a really rough situation, like for instance, a divorce or something, they're trying to rebuild credit. It's a good idea. And like Lindsay said, you do not have to ever give them the card, right? They're just basically hijacking your good credit history, but make sure whatever you add them to is actually good credit history, right? Yeah. So what I mean by that is that you don't have late pays on it, that you are, you know, keeping those balances fairly low as far as like what the utilization is. And utilization means the percentage that you have in use, right? Like that's reporting and based on how much you actually have available. Okay. So for instance, if you owe $2,000 on a $10,000 credit card, you are at a 20% usage. Okay. And that also majorly affects credit. Do you remember, Lindsay, what percentage it is? It's pretty high. I just can't remember which one.
I think it's 30% is revolving credit history. So that means your usage of it. and this, I'll get to something else in a minute, talk about that for credit today to restore your credit. But really, if you keep your balances under that 20%, that's where your credit score remains high. Once you get over that 20%, so like Jacqueline said, that $2,000 on a $10,000 credit limit, once you get over that, your credit score begins to go down. So try to keep your balances as low as possible, or pay them off every single month is what I know we both would recommend.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and like I said, I mean, we're just talking especially because remember, you have somebody else that you love and care about that you're adding on there. So if that is what you're doing, make sure that you're actually giving them positive history. Another thing that you can do if you don't want to have any skin in the game as far as like you putting your social security number connected with them, right? Be it authorized user, be it you're co-signing for a credit card. The other option is to do a secured credit card. And so now you're saying, what the heck does that even mean? Secured credit card. So you're actually ponying up the money for the limit up front. Okay. So whether that be $300, $500, $1,000. So you're giving the creditor the money and then they're giving you a credit line for up to that amount of money. Okay. So basically the reason it's called secured is because if you put, you know, pay $1,000 or whatever, you know, charge up $1,000 and then you walk away and you don't pay it, they have that money backing. And so they can basically take it back. That's why it's called secured. Okay. And it's a really good option as well for anybody who's listening who may be rebuilding credit, because you might be struggling right now to get somebody to want to issue you a credit card or give you a loan that's not at a crazy interest rate, right? And so this is a really good way to rebuild credit or build it from scratch, whichever way you're going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's a great option to build new credit for a child as well as that secure credit card.
Yeah.
And now looking at somebody who's maybe had credit for a little while and you want to rebuild or grow your credit score. Obviously those payments, making sure you're paying everything on time, every single time. Now, if you don't have credit, open a credit card. And I say that as kind as possible, open a credit card. And here's what I tell people, find a rewards card, something that you enjoy. So maybe it's a card that offers points and miles for travel, if you enjoy traveling, a card that offers points and miles for purchasing at restaurants. And I tell people, use a card for the same thing every single week, the same reason, and pay it off at the end of the week. So if your card gives you points and miles when you shop at a grocery store, use that card when you buy your groceries. And on Friday when you get paid, or the 1st and the 15th of the month when you get paid, fully pay off that credit card. Because you're now using credit, but paying it off immediately. A lot of companies will give you points and miles if you buy gas. That's a huge one that points and miles come from, or whatever rewards come from. So use one credit card to buy your gas every time you fill up your car. A lot of people shop at Sam's Club or Costco and buy their gas there. Get their credit card that they provide, because not only do you get points and miles when you shop at their store, but you get it for gasoline as well. So a huge benefit for you. You get to utilize all their benefits that they offer with that card. You're earning those points and miles, but you're also growing your credit score, which is a really smart thing to do.
Right. Now, yeah, for sure. The other thing that you do have to be a little bit careful of when it comes to anybody who's either rebuilding or starting with credit from scratch is that you are having a conversation with them or an understanding of responsibility with it. Because especially if you tend to be like my personality, I joke because on my financial instincts framework quiz, I'm what we like to call the frizzless fox. So what does that mean? My financial spirit animal is the one that likes to spend, which is why everybody who listens to this podcast knows that I have like 800 purple cups because I really just like to spend money sometimes. And so it can definitely get away from you, right? Like, even though I have all the financial knowledge, I know all the rules, I know all the things, it's not to say that I haven't gotten myself at times into some credit struggles because I have overutilized those credit cards, right? Because it's real easy when you've got, you know, several thousand dollars or whatever, right? They're available. And you just tell yourself, like, it'll be fine. Like, I can go ahead and spend a couple thousand dollars and you don't really necessarily have the plan to pay it off. And so just make sure, especially when you are dealing with younger people who maybe haven't sort of established where they're at in life or how any of that works, that you want to be having some conversations and creating some knowledge bank, right, of what that looks like, and that it's not just free money, right? It is stuff that they have to pay back, and the concept of compounding interest, because let's be real, credit cards, in my opinion, are kind of like legalized loan sharking. The hard part is that they're kind of necessary in our society, right? Because we don't work off of a handshake, we are going to trust you mentality anymore. We now have that, you know, you're going to be building this credit up, and this is what's, you know, most of your life is going to be based off of these scores. And so you got to really understand how they operate and how they work to make sure that you're doing your due diligence on that.
Yep. And that's exactly why I say at the end of the week, just like you would have the money pulled out of your debit card when you're paying for your gas or you're paying for your groceries, have that money paid immediately. So you're paying it off before the due date. You're not going to be incurring that interest like you would. And you're also utilizing the credit in a good and healthy way. Now, that doesn't mean go buy a very expensive purse or what have you on that card. Don't go buy a whole new set of tools. It's not going to be worth it. Trust us. Utilize it wisely. Now, let's say you have tools that you want to buy for your business, and you know they're $1,000, and you have $1,000 in your bank account. Go buy those tools on the credit card. But then after 7 days, pay off that credit card with the money that you already have. That's good use of credit. Going to buy those $1,000 tools that you want, and at the end of the week, not having the money to pay it, you're going to incur interest, and that number is just going to go up and up and up.
Right.
But the other thing I would say, if you want to rebuild credit, is to raise your borrowing ability. Now, again, I say the same thing Jacqueline just said. Just because the money's available, don't go spend it. But if we're talking that $2,000 utilized versus that $10,000 limit, you're at 20%. So my suggestion is, if you have the availability to raise your borrowing amount, you're going to instantly lower your credit usage. The beauty of that is it is an instant reward on your credit score. Again, please don't go use that because it's available to you. We're working on growing your credit. So if you raise that borrowing ability to $20,000 and you have $2,000 balance, you're drastically lowering your credit usage, which is going to raise your credit score immediately. Again, only utilize credit that you have the money to pay for, making sure that we're helping you rebuild or grow your credit.
Right. Yeah, you definitely, I mean, part of this also is really knowing yourself and understanding, because the truth of the matter is some people can have 40 credit cards and be perfectly fine, and some people can only have two, and it definitely is going to create some challenge and problem. The hard part here, though, with credit too, is you guys have to understand it's also proportional, right? So look at it from this aspect. If you have 10 accounts and one ends up unfortunately going negative or goes over the utilization, right? Some things that are heavy hitters on that credit score, right? Mm-hmm. It is a lot going to affect you a lot more than if you had 20 accounts, right? Or if you had 30 accounts, right? Because again, it's a percentage thing. And so this is where you just have to be really careful and cognizant of kind of what that is looking like and how that's looking. And also why, and I did a whole episode about co-signing not too long ago, where you do, I mean, none of the things, like you can live life however you so see fit, right? This is simply informational, because you have to sort of pick and choose, because I'm not necessarily anti co-signing for things, but I am very pro on understanding, first of all, how co-signing works, right? And then number two, making sure that you know that person that you are co-signing for, that there is some significant trust there, right? You have to be very, very careful when you are making these financial decisions, when you're setting yourself up for success, right? And your kids up for success. Yep. Because if you aren't, it can potentially negatively affect you. And sometimes life is just going to happen, right? I mean, we all intend for everything to go according to plan. And as Lindsay probably knows, I've been in a crazy situation the last couple of years personally, where I'll be real with you, my credit right now looks like trash. Now, the positive is like Lindsay and I have been discussing, I know what I need to do to fix it, rebuild it, heal it, et cetera. And so this, again, it just comes back with knowing yourself, you know, having a conversation with yourself, understanding and getting the knowledge base, and maybe not tying your credit score so closely to your self-worth, because it's an important tool. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're a bad person if your credit's not perfect.
And I have seen, just like I know you have too, I have seen somebody who makes a very large amount of money, holds a really high profile job, and they do not have a good credit score.
Correct.
So don't feel like if you have negative credit or struggles on your credit right now, that makes you a bad person.
No, exactly.
Mistakes. Trust me, I've been there, just like you talked about. I've been there. The reality is, learn what you can do to fix it and grow from it. And
for
get
sure.
to a better place. Here's my quick, simple tip on credit cards. Put them in a drawer at home so they're not with you. Because if they're not in your purse, not in your wallet, and you're out at the mall or you're at the store or you're at wherever, Home Depot, you won't have that temptation to use it. Now, yes. Can you put your credit card number in online? Yes. don't save your credit cards on any of like your Google login profiles. Only have a debit card. So that's instant cash removed. But don't carry your credit cards with you and don't put them in an auto fill up form online, because that will stop you and protect you. You now have to go get those credit cards to use them. And that is my simplest tip to avoid credit pitfalls.
A lot of times what I personally do is I, because I like to shop, I will fake shop. That's what I call it, where basically I add things to my cart or whatever, and I kind of leave them in there. And I do that on purpose so that if I'm still thinking about it or still wanting it a couple of days, a week or whatever from now, then I'll make a plan of like, okay, when it hits this price, like then I'll go ahead and buy it, as opposed to, you know, think about it. And let's be real, like I'm the worst target for Facebook ever. I go on there and they have me so dialed in. They're like, look, Jack's going to love this. Like, let's advertise it to her.
You're telling them what you want.
Yeah, exactly. Like, let's do it. Right. And so like, you know, and the whole thing is, and just so y'all know, you know, they do all of those countdowns and all that stuff intentionally, right? They're trying to give you FOMO. They're trying to like make you, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get this thing ever again if I don't buy it right now.
I'm right there with you though. My Amazon cart is usually like $2,000 to $5,000 worth of stuff. Do I will order it? No, but girl, I'll put it in that cart because I might look at it later.
Yeah, I just add it to the wish list or whatever, and then I decide if I really need it. But yeah. A lot of times I think people just don't realize that, first of all, even those of us who actually know the drill, right? Like, we've got the information, we've got the goods, like we're not perfect with it. And I talk about that a lot on the podcast, because I want people to understand that just because you have all the knowledge and you have all the intention doesn't mean that the execution is always going to necessarily go according to plan. These are simply tools, because you want to be able to set yourself up for success, set your kids up for success, right? And be able to understand how it works. Because I tell people all the time, credit's just a game. Like when I was at one of the building stages of my business, man, we had a lot of credit cards that were like really high utilization, right? And so my credit score looked like trash for a minute. And I knew, right? But I didn't want to get rid of all the cash in my bank account, right? Until I knew that I was on strong footing, you know, with my money coming in the door. And things like that, right? And so this is just a game, guys. Like, you just have to learn how to play the game and how to utilize it effectively. That's why we're doing this episode, to give you these tips and these tricks and these thoughts of like, okay, how do I set myself up, my kids up? I'm repairing my credit. What does that look like? How do I set myself up for success?
Yeah.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified, your go-to podcast for making smart money decisions. We break down complex financial topics into easy-to-understand advice you can use every day. Our experts cover everything from budgeting and saving to investing and retirement planning. We give you the tools to take control of your money and build the future you want. With Financial Mastery Simplified, you'll feel informed and empowered to make the best choices for your financial health. Tune in to Financial Mastery Simplified on your favorite podcast platform. Start your journey to financial confidence today.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Welcome to House U, where we believe in the power of education. At House U, we're more than just a brand. We're your partner in home ownership, dedicated to educating, equipping, and empowering you every step of the way. Education is at the heart of everything we do. We offer comprehensive resources designed to make home ownership simple and accessible for all. From understanding mortgage options to mastering home maintenance, House U provides the knowledge you need to make informed decisions with confidence. We host workshops and seminars, bringing together experts and community members to share insights and build a stronger, more informed community. Because when you're educated, you're empowered. House U. Home ownership made simple for all. Visit our website or contact us today to start your journey with House U. Empower yourself with knowledge and embrace the joy of home ownership.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
I think a really simple game trick you can play with your kids to teach them credit too is the power of mommy or daddy bank. So let's say you're at Target and they're like, hey, I want this toy. It's $20. I have $20 in my piggy bank at home. Will you buy this and then I'll pay you when I get home? I've learned to say, sure. I will buy that for you, but you're going to pay me $25 because there is a mommy bank fee, just like a credit card. And I explained to them, just like a credit card, when you pay for something in advance that you don't have the money for, it costs you more. And so do you want this toy for $25 or do you want to wait till the next time you have your money with you to buy it? And there's been an answer of both, depending on my children, which one. There's some that are like little savvy about it. And there's some that are instant gratification. And I watched that. Parents don't learn quickly what child you have. But it is teaching them the power of having cash on hand versus using credit. Things cost more when you use credit. Even if you pay a credit card instantly, you still are going to incur points, fees, costs. A lot of credit cards charge you an annual fee, those kind of things. So teaching them ahead of time, mommy bank costs money. If you want to use mommy bank, sure, I'm happy to help you with that. But it's going to cost you a little bit more for this toy that you want.
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, my mom was really adamant. So first of all, it was nice that you do that. My mom didn't even give us that choice. If we didn't have the money in hand, she would not buy, period, in a story. We also had to do it completely on our own, including counting the change. And we had to understand tax and how it all worked very, very young. My mom was very, very, that was something really, really important to her. And I can't recommend enough, as you are setting your children up for success, that even if you want to buy them things and things like that, that you actually make them somewhat responsible for giving them the actual funds, forcing them to go through that process of understanding, you know, what it is, what it looks like that, you know, here's how much the item costs and here's how much it is with tax and going through that process, because there's something about you actually having to physically do it that just really changes the game, right? Like I have three adult stepdaughters and I'll tell the story because it's such a funny one. So one of my adult stepdaughters, so my rule in my family is that my parents would match 50% of whatever amount we could come up with. So like it would be an exact match for our first car. Yeah. So if we could come up with 10 grand, they would match it with 10 grand. If we could come up with 3 grand, they would match it with 3 grand, whatever that looked like, right? And that's what we had to do to buy the first car. And one of my stepdaughters, oldest, she said, that's ridiculous. I feel like I shouldn't have to buy my first car, blah, 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 right? Well, my mom knew that the reason was, and it had nothing to do with the fact that my parents, and luckily for me, right, that they couldn't help afford to do that for me. It was about they were trying to create a level of responsibility because they knew what a big responsibility it was to drive a car, right? Like I'm literally out there potentially putting people's lives at risk by me driving a car, and they wanted me to have a responsibility in that car and like some ownership. And there is something very different psychologically that happens to you when you have done the buying and when someone else has. There's a lot of self-esteem that we get from that, right? Like a lot of positive self-esteem and things of that sort. So I'm going to heavily encourage you, like when you're dealing with your kids, even if you have the funds to be able to buy them the biggest, nicest, whatever, force them to do some work that then you give them money where they actually earn it, because it will help them with a responsibility level. And it also helps with their self-esteem, right? And we all want our kids to be successful, productive members of society that have great, you know, that feel great about themselves and great about, you know, their abilities. And it's literally one of the best ways you can do that. And it sounds silly because you're like, yeah, but it's just like, why would I want to hand them the $20 to then hand to the cashier? You know what I mean? Like to get, like, why would I want to do that? Because it is, it's something psychologically that changes within them by taking that money, them have getting it, whether it be allowance or earning it or whatever. And then them having to fork over that money, something very different happens in their brains.
Yeah. I think what you're saying about the helping match 50-50 on a car is ideal. I think that's amazing. I think a part of it too is realizing how long it takes you to save that money, right? So if they're saving $3,000, that's not going to be within a couple weeks. That's going to take them a period of time to save it. So think about if you damage that vehicle now and you have to pay to repair it, how much is that going to cost? So I think they take more pride in it. They take better care of it. They're more responsible. I am 100% on board with that as well. Absolutely. My parents made me get a job to pay for insurance, my own gas, everything. And trust me, my kids, poor children, are going to be suffering down the road when they have to cover all of those costs as well. Oh. It taught me responsibility. It taught me that I wasn't just going to go drive frivolously around town, especially even how gas prices, we could fill up $5 for a tank, you know.
My girls were so mad because I made every one of them. I was like, look, you have to get a job. If you're going to be in my household, you got to get a job. And they're like, this is ridiculous. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no. I was like, you need to understand. First of all, right now, your money money is your money and you don't need it to pay like big bills or like whatever. Like you need to like have that experience, right, of earning and like what it looks like and first jobs, because first jobs are usually not the best and the prettiest, right? Like they, you need to kind of have some of this real world experience. And I want you to do it. And I say this all the time for parents. I want you to do it in my house, mm-hmm. because then if you slip, if you fall, I can catch you right now. I have the ability to help you. If you do it out in the real world when you're mid-20s, whatever, like I have less of an ability to help you catch you.
Yeah. I like to say it's good to put bumpers on their life. Let them have the ability in that lane to experience life. But you're putting those bumpers so you can stop them from going out of the lane. But they can have that ability to express themselves and do what they want and have some freedom to make mistakes, but you're providing those bumpers so they're not going fully off the deep end. I love that. Yep.
Well, my mom has a saying, and it's so true. We're not raising children, we're raising adults. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it like that, then you think to yourself, right? Like, how would you want this child when they're an adult to face up around other people? Like, how would you want that person to be a coworker of yours or a friend or a like business, I'll say, whatever that looks like, right? And like, so I always were thinking about that. Like, it's like in our family, this doesn't necessarily have to do with credit, it's just good parenting. My girls, one of their weekly chores, so they had different chores and they had a rotating weekly chore. So it was one of three tasks. One was feeding the pets, one was taking out the garbage, and one was cooking. So they had to do that task in that 1 week. And the pet one obviously was every single day. The cooking one was only one time a week. But basically they had to figure out what the meal plan was. They had to figure out what the ingredients were, whatever. And they all thought that I was the wicked stepmother, I guess, or whatever, right, for doing it. But I was like, look, when you're out on your own at the very beginning, you often can't pay to eat out all the time. So I need you to have the real life skill of being able to cook something. And guess what? If you burn whatever we're going to eat, Dad and I can afford to like go out and we'll buy, you know, some to go or whatever, you know, to figure this out, or I'll whip something up myself for the family. But it gives you the opportunity to explore, to try some things, to get good at a skill. And I help them always, but because I love to cook, but still, like, right? Like, this is again about just being intentional. When it comes to credit, when it comes to anything, if we're setting our children up for success, we are doing it in a way that is intentional, because we want them to be intentional people and, you know where they're going in life, have goals and values that align with not only our family, but what, like, we want them to start exploring that on their own, right? Start getting that sense of identity.
I say to my girls a lot, who do you want to be? Who do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be known for? And they'll give an answer and I'll say, hey, is this choice you're making take you down that trajectory or taking you somewhere else? Like, which way are you going? Are you headed towards that goal or are you headed somewhere else with that choice? And it's kind of eye-opening, as much as they can comprehend it, you know, but it is a matter of, what do you want to be in the future? I'm raising an adult. You have to do this long-term. What does that look like? Do you want a messy house when you grow up? Can you find your shoes? You know, those kind of things are the very basic, simple things, but they translate to credit. They translate to financial literacy. They translate to security long-term. And being secure financially is a huge aspect of that going into adulthood. If they go off to a different city and have, you know, college in a different area or different state, are they able to securely live by themselves, making food or having enough money to buy groceries? Or are they eating out all week and it comes to the weekend and they have no money left? It's right. Just that conversation long term.
Right. Well, I mean, it's interesting, money, but also other ways. We set a lot of like how we live the rest of our life around the ages of 8 to 12. And so as parents, we need to really think about that, because I don't think there's a single parent that you could talk to, interview, have a conversation with that wants their child to fail on any level, right? Not financially, not emotionally. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, none of those things, right? And the truth is, as a parent, we need to be helping and setting up those expectations, right? And creating that path forward when they are younger, right? Whether it be about financial literacy, emotional maturity, right? EQ, like there's so many different facets and things like that. And it's why I'm so adamant about not only helping others level up, but also leveling up myself, right? Like, I practice what I preach. I constantly am attending different, you know, reading different books, attending different kinds of masterminds, enrolling myself in some kind of a course. And we live in the best age ever to be able to access whatever information we want. You feel like you're weak about something, whether it be financial, EQ, right? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, this is the day and age to be able to access the information. So find what aligns with you and your life and your lifestyle and learn those things, right? Implement those items into your family. Like work through that because you have the ability more than ever before.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're lacking, you can find it 100%. There is an option out there to help you learn and grow, whether it's your local library, online resources, whatever it is, you're going to find something to help you at least small nuggets grow. There is the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. That. Well, it's been such an amazing time, Lindsay, having you on. You definitely will have to come on again as a guest. Any last minute thoughts? And I think that you definitely have an offer for the listeners.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I loved it. If you want to take a look at your credit, take a look at what you can do to help grow, change, fix your credit, I'd love to help you. No cost, available, just love helping people. So feel free to reach out.
Yeah, awesome. Well, and hopefully you guys found this episode helpful. Like I said, it's really important that we are building a generation, you know, that is coming up that does have maybe some of the things that we did lack. Or maybe some of us were blessed enough that we did have that, but we need to make sure that we are doing things intentionally and that we are able to live the life on our terms and that we're helping our kids do the exact same thing. So we will see you again next time on another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified.